Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome. This is Emily Cooper from Elder Affairs. Nice to see you all again. It's been a few months, so I hope you all had a wonderful end of your summer as we are now moving towards fall. So I'm gonna let everybody join. I see some people connecting today, still. Okay. So again, this is Emily Cooper, welcome. I am the Chief Housing Officer at the Massachusetts Executive Office of Elder Affairs. For those of you who this is a first call, welcome. For those of you who have been attending these calls regularly, welcome back. We took the month of August off. Hopefully you all got to do something relaxing. Normally I say go on vacation, but I know that was extra challenging this year, but at least maybe you got a staycation. Today, we are going to have one of our series of phone calls related to topics that we think will be of interest to people who work in senior housing. Before we get started, I want to thank Leading Age Massachusetts for helping us with all the technology and the registration and making this really seamless. Without them, we wouldn't be able to do this. This is a collaboration between multiple state agencies. And I'm going to let folks introduce themselves. So we're going to start with Dave Ng from Mass Housing.
Thanks, Emily. Thanks, everyone, for joining us today. It's nice to see folks after our August break. Please let us know how we can assist you with your day-to-day operations during this time. And if there are topics you would like us to cover on these monthly calls. So thanks for joining us.
Great. Thanks, Dave. And Sarah Barkin from CDAC, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, everybody. Sarah Barkin from CDAC, Community Economic Development Assistance Corporation. And just want to echo Dave's comments, welcoming all of you. Very glad to have you join us. And please be in touch if there are ways that we can be of assistance to you as you continue to weather this very challenging time.
Thanks, Sarah. And Amy Stightley from the Department of Housing and Community Development.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm excited to restart the forum today and talk about something so central. Thanks to Leading Age and to Elder Affairs for continuing to provide excellent leadership during this time period.
Thank you so much, Amy. Lynn Monahan from Leading Age is going to spend a few seconds talking about technology, Zoom, and logistics. I know that you are all experts now. But I learn something new every day. So I'm going to turn it over to Lynn. She's going to run you through how to deal with the technology and ask questions.
Good afternoon, everybody. So just to go over a quick few logistical items for today's call, the default for coming into today's meeting is to be muted. So if you have a question or comment that you'd like to make throughout the meeting, you will need to unmute yourself. For those on your computer, you'll click the little microphone icon on your Zoom screen. For those on the phone, you will press *6 to unmute yourself. And we do ask that you remute yourself once you have made your question or comment. We will be using the chat box, which is found for those on your computer in your Zoom functions. And so you feel free to leave questions or comments in that. There's multiple people on this call who will be monitoring that throughout. If you are on the phone and you have a question or would like to make a comment, you can feel free to send me an email, which is lmonaghan@leadingagema.org. And just to want to make everybody aware that this call is being recorded, and I'm going to drop a link in the chat box for those on the computer to where the previous meeting's recordings can be found.
Thanks, Lynn. So welcome again. For those of you who are new, this is a part of an ongoing effort that started way back when COVID first began, between the state housing agencies and Elder Affairs to really support and hear from and give information to those people who are on the front lines working in with seniors in housing properties. And that could vary from property managers to owners to resident service coordinators to service providers. This is really an open forum, but that is the goal is to get you information and also to hear from you back. As part of this, we have set up a listserv with over 500 people on it. And as information becomes available, not just state information, things that we become aware of that we think would be useful, we send that out to people. For example, if there's a funding opportunity that might be available. We also run a dedicated email address. It is seniorhousingcovid19@mass.gov. Someone will put that in the chat room now, but I'll repeat it. seniorhousingcovid19@mass.gov. If you would like to join the listserv, if you have a question, if you have a concern, if you have a good story to tell, feel free to email us at that address, and we will share that information or route it to where it needs to go. Also, feel free to give us suggestions about future calls like this for topics or feedback about how they're working or not working, because we're always looking for to hear from you all. Lastly, we have what was, I guess, weekly calls when COVID began, is now monthly calls. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because I think, oh, well, it's a good thing because things, the crisis has calmed down a little bit, but it's a bad thing because we're still doing them and COVID's still going on. So, but when we've all kind of adjusted to it. But we do have monthly calls on different topics. Just in case you jump off early, they're the fourth Thursday of the month. So the next call will be October 22nd at noon. It's always a Thursday, fourth Thursday of the month at noon. And if you would like to get make sure that you get information about that those calls, again, the email is seniorhousingcovid19@mass.gov. As Lynn mentioned, and she put the link in the chat room, Leading Age Massachusetts has recorded all of these calls. I think that it would be interesting actually to go through and listen to them from the first one to this one, because it is a sort of a telling of the epidemic. We started off with the Department of Public Health talking about what is COVID, how does it work? We talked about contact tracing collaboratives, contact tracing initiatives. We talked about meals and how to get meals delivered. We talked about different service programs and how they were being adjusted during COVID. And so we've sort of evolved with different topics as the pandemic itself has evolved. So today we're pleased and honored to talk about transportation. And transportation is an area, frankly, as a houser, I know very little about. And so we have pleased to have with us experts in the field, both looking at it statewide and somebody who will talk regionally about their situation. And then we're gonna let them talk for a little while. They'll tell you about some things. And then as always, we will have times for question and answers at the end. Feel free to put any of your questions in the chat room now. And when we get to that point, I will make sure to flag them. So we're gonna start with Rachel Fichtenbaum, who is with Mass Mobility. And one of the things she's gonna tell you is what Mass Mobility is. And then actually we're going to hear from Joanne LaFara, who is the Greater Attleboro Taunton Regional Transit Authority, which I think is GAPTRA, if I say that correctly. So Rachel, why don't you unmute and tell us a little bit about you, Mass Mobility, and what resources might be available to seniors who live in these properties and what folks can be doing at the local level.
Great. Thank you so much, Emily, and everyone for having me. I'm so excited to be here. So as Emily said, I'm Rachel Fichtenbaum with Mass Mobility. Mass Mobility is a statewide initiative based in the Executive Office of Health and Human Services to support mobility for older adults, people with disabilities, anyone who lacks access to transportation. We do that by sharing information about what transportation options are out there in communities across the state, and also by helping organizations including housers, with figuring out how you can expand mobility. So Mass Mobility is an information sharing initiative. We do not actually provide transportation directly. So today I'm mostly gonna be talking about transportation options where someone does not have to drive themselves, but I wanted to start out by mentioning that there are resources from the Massachusetts Registry of Motor Vehicles, the RMV, for older drivers supporting safe driving. So if any of you are working with residents who are still driving, who may need some support to drive safely, or who may be interested in an evaluation to find out if their driving is safe, there's great resources from the RMV, and they have a great staff person, Michelle Ellicks, who some of you may have worked with, who goes around the state supporting older drivers in driving safely. So now on to transportation options where someone does not have to drive. It really depends where you are. It varies community by community. It varies region by region. It varies town by town. So I'm going to talk generally what are some tools and approaches you can use to find what options are available in your community. And then Joanne will give some examples of what that looks like on the ground in one region in Massachusetts. So wherever you are, a really great tool that you can use is RideMatch, which was actually developed by Joanne's organization. So thank you, Joanne. RideMatch is an online searchable database. Allison's putting the URL in the chat, but it's massridematch.org. And it includes public and private transportation options in Massachusetts. So you can go to RideMatch and you can choose your town from a drop-down menu and you'll get a list of the transportation providers serving that town with public transportation, but also private transportation. But they also have a trip planning feature. So if you're helping a resident figure out how to get somewhere, you can put in where they're starting and where they need to get to, and then you'll get a list of the transportation options that can do that trip. And it starts with public transit, so bus, but also paratransit, demand response. It includes programs like volunteer driver programs, and it also includes taxis and livery services. So a whole range, a great place to start. In addition to RideMatch, some ways that you can really get to know what options are available in your town are by having relationships with transportation providers or expert organizations. And the two that I would recommend starting with are Councils on Aging and Transit Authorities. So Councils on Aging, I imagine many of you already have relationships with the Council on Aging. In addition to all the other services that they offer, many provide transportation. And that may be through a van that they operate. It may be a volunteer driver program where they recruit volunteers who have some free time and match them with people who need rides. Some Councils on Aging subsidize taxi rides or Uber and Lyft rides. Again, it varies town by town. It all depends where you are. But Councils on Aging, many of them provide transportation. And even those that don't provide transportation tend to be aware of what transportation options are available. Because they're also helping older adults connect to transportation options. So then transit authorities. The MBTA is the biggest transit authority in Massachusetts serving Greater Boston, but there's also 15 regional transit authorities serving the different regions around the state. Allison will put a link. Yep, great, thanks Allison. There's a website now in the chat where you can find more information about transit authorities and also find out which transit authority serves your area. Most, but not all towns are members of a transit authority, and they offer a range of different services. So they offer what's called fixed route service, which is like, you can think of like a bus. They also offer demand response service, where eligible individuals can call and reserve a trip that comes to them and takes them where they need to go. And many also offer special services that vary. So for example, a number of the regional transit authorities in eastern Massachusetts run medical shuttles that go into Boston so that if someone has a specialty appointment in Boston, they don't need to find someone who can drive them all the way into the city. There's a shuttle that can take them and drop them off at their appointment. So that's transit authorities.
So Rachel, I'm just going to interrupt because there's a lot of links that are being put in the chat. And I just want to let folks know and assure them we send out an email after this and we will send out all of those links. So don't worry that you have to scribble madly or anything like that. And we'll give you Rachel's information so you can bother her. All right, go ahead, Rachel, thanks.
Thanks, Emily. So in addition to sharing information about what options are available, sometimes that's not enough. Sometimes a resident might need some help getting familiar with a service or getting comfortable using a service. So I wanted to highlight a couple types of resources that are available for that. If you have a resident who wants to ride the bus but doesn't feel comfortable riding the bus, you can help them look for a travel trainer. There's some information on travel trainers on the public transit webpage. Travel trainers are professionals whose job is to help older adults and people with disabilities learn the skills and information they need to ride public transit independently and safely. And so some transit authorities have travel trainers on staff who can help people to do that. Some other options, if you have a resident who wants to ride Uber or Lyft, but doesn't have a smartphone or doesn't know how to book a trip, there's a company called GoGo Grandparent that you can call and they book the trip for you, but it does have an additional cost. So that would work for someone who can afford the trip plus some additional cost. There's also some examples of organizations that have developed workshops where they teach older adults to download the apps and use them, learn how to use the apps to book a trip, including a transportation initiative out of Brookline called Trips. So now I want to talk a little bit about COVID-19 and how that's been affecting community transportation. The main thing that I want to highlight is just if you are referring someone to a transportation option, I would really recommend calling either you or the resident just to call and make sure that the information you have is the most up-to-date information. When the pandemic first hit, a number of transportation services did reduce some of their services. Some volunteer driver programs suspended operations. Many of these programs have been coming back over the months, but there are still some changes. And so I think better safe than sorry, just call and double check that the information you have is still the most up-to-date information. Over the months, transportation providers have been learning a lot about how to provide transportation safely. So I'll give some examples of the types of things they're doing. And I think Joanne is also going to talk about what this looks like on the ground in Southeastern Mass. But one approach that they're taking is PPE. So passengers wearing masks, drivers using gloves as appropriate. If the vehicle's big enough, a lot have put in partitions so that there's a separation between the driver and the passengers. They're implementing cleaning protocols that follow CDC guidelines. They're paying attention to airflow. And so, for example, keeping the windows open if that's possible, or making sure that the air conditioning is not recirculating the air, but instead is bringing in fresh air into the vehicle. And they're taking steps to limit exposure. So that can be reducing, making restrictions on how many passengers can ride at a time, or making sure that there's distance between passengers and the driver while on board the vehicle. If you're talking to a resident who's interested in using transportation, but maybe needs some reassurance or has some concerns, one thing that they can do is they can look at the particular, whatever the transportation provider that they're thinking about using, look for their specific protocols. It may be on their website, or if not, they can call and ask. I think if the rider knows what steps are being taken, that can help them feel more comfortable riding in the vehicle. They can also think about what they can do as an individual, as a rider, to make themselves feel more comfortable. For example, maybe they would feel more comfortable if they wore a face shield on top of their mask, or if they brought their own hand sanitizer. You can also remind them that drivers also want to stay safe, that we're really all in this together in terms of keeping transportation safe. And of course, if they are on a trip and they do see something concerning, to make sure that they report that right away to the transportation provider so that they can look into that and make any arrangements that they might need to. So I've mostly been focusing on sharing information about transportation options, but I wanted to also just mention that there are some gaps in the transportation network. You may be trying to help someone find a trip and find that there is not a service that can help them, or that a service that meets all their needs. And so there are, Mass Mobility also works with organizations to figure out what can you do to help fill in some of those gaps. How can you partner with others or implement best practices to expand mobility for older adults? And so I think Allison's going to put another website in the chat, which is Mass Mobility's Resources for Human Service Agencies, which is approaches and tools to learn about how you can expand mobility or partner with others, including a website with funding opportunities, so that if you have an idea and you want to pilot it, you can apply for a grant to make that happen. So now I'm going to hand it over to Joanne LaFerrera, Director of Customer Relations at GATRA, to talk, give examples of what this looks like on the ground in her region.
Thank you, Rachel. Good afternoon now, it is afternoon, and thank you for having me. As Rachel said, I'm the Director of Customer Relations for a Regional Transit Authority, which I'm not sure if people really know what that is. Regional Transit Authority is a federally and state-funded entity that provides transportation in areas where the MBTA isn't available. So a lot of regions do not have the transportation options that the MBTA might be able to provide. For example, I provide it in southeastern Massachusetts. We're a 28 member community, Taunton, Attleboro, from Medway down through Scituate and Plymouth, which is a pretty large area that does not have the option of the MBTA. You know, we have fixed route buses, we have dial-a-ride, we have paratransit for people with disabilities that can't take a bus, but we don't have night service, we don't have Sunday service. So our options are very limited. And what I do as a regional transit authority is I'm the community liaison as well. So I will visit all these communities to figure out exactly what they need for transportation. I belong to a number of boards. I work with 28 of our Council on Aging's for transportation. And we do provide, I've gotten received grants and worked with local nonprofits to provide a business like Uber and Lyft transportation option in the Plymouth area and in Attleboro and Taunton. Because we know how transportation limits and is so vital to our community and to our seniors. I've gotten grants for long distance medical transportation in our area when people need to go to Boston to the hospitals or to Foxborough to large hospital and medical centers to be able to go, because our facility, our services do not apply in that area. GATRA is unique, I think, in that all of our communities can reach out to us and we will work with them to try and provide the service that we need. I have housing facilities that have called me for routes to go into them. I have had them call for butt benches. And received it, and I've had them call. I go and I do presentations in housing and senior housing on how to provide travel training or how to sign up for dial-a-ride or local transportation. And I think that people don't utilize the regional transit authorities as much as they should because we can help them with applying for grants for transportation. As I said, I work with all 28 Council on Aging's, which during COVID have been extremely limited. I had a call from a Council on Aging in the Plymouth area who has no more volunteers. All her volunteers have gone. So she's reached out to us. We do have the local dial-a-ride, but in some areas, the dial-a-ride is a shared service, but some of these seniors can't do a shared service. So we've worked with Council on Aging, we've worked with senior housing to work out something that we can help them with on a one-on-one transportation. They can call our dispatch and say, Mary Smith from this housing authority needs to go to some Plymouth hospital. We also have had set up shopping trips during COVID when the housing seniors can't get out. So in the Taunton area, they've contacted us to work with all their housing, and we set up a shopping day where they'll call in and we'll socially distance the seniors to go to a loop of the local shopping grocery stores. And I just think that it's something that it's really important that people can work with their regional transit authorities to realize the transportation they can provide and they can help with. We've set up a business arrangement with Uber and Lyft in three of our areas for seniors, for Sunday service, for night service, for when our services don't provide transportation. And I just think that we've also established a micro transit during COVID. We've kind of eliminated some of our routes, but we do have a micro transit service that we provide in the Mansfield Foxborough area. And even though we eliminated our local dial-a-ride during the COVID, we've opened up the micro transit service. So anyone can utilize this service. All our vehicles are accessible vehicles. So they just call dispatch or they could download an app. And it's the same day service that was open to the public, to seniors, people with disabilities, anyone, to get to their essential needs during the COVID. I know you were interested in what we've done for COVID. We've practiced CDC protocol in all our vehicles. All our vehicles are sanitized continuously during the day. We've set up shields between the driver. We allow social distancing, especially for our Dial-A-Ride and the microtransit. We do mandate that masks are worn by the consumers. And I think in most of the areas, even the fixed route buses, the back door is, we ask that you use the back door. And also during COVID, all fees have been waived. So no money is exchanged. It has been exchanged during the COVID. We're slowly coming back now to getting more and more people using our services. And I can see that there's been a big uptick, especially people now, seniors are going back to their doctors. So I think we've been slow, we've never really stopped our services, but we're slowly seeing an uptick in people coming back and using them. And again, a regional transit authority can do so much working within their community to help their seniors and people with disabilities. And if anyone has any questions, I'd be willing to answer anything.
Thanks, Joanne. That was great. And thanks, Rachel, too. Joanne, I have a question, which is, you've told us that there are regional transit authorities in other parts of the state. Is there someone like you in all of those places where, like, working with each community and, you know, in such an intensive way and having those relationships?
You know, I don't know if there's someone, Rachel could probably answer that better because she's out there. But, you know, I know in those suburbs and way out in the western part of the state, there's no transportation, or very little transportation. I have always tried to work with each community to see exactly what they need. Not every community needs the same. They don't. A lot of our council and agings, we provide the vehicles and they provide the service. So it's kind of a win-win. They're using their local people as drivers, but it's our vehicles. I think in other parts of the state, there are people that are out there working, but I'm just not sure. Again, Rachel would probably know.
I would definitely just refer back to that webpage where you can find your transit authority and strongly recommend that everyone get familiar with your transit authority. Joanne, there's only one Joanne. Joanne's fantastic, but you can work with your transit authority wherever you are to see what they can offer. You can, and there's different stages of that. So the first stage, I think, is just learning what they already offer. There may be a service that you don't know about that could help your residents. And then stage two is how could you and your transit authority work together to increase service? Joanne listed a whole bunch of different examples of what that can look like. That can look like going for a grant together and creating a new service. That can look like tweaking an existing route so that it better serves your facility. If you build a nice, strong working relationship with your transit authority, they can help you understand which of those things are easier, which are harder, which might be a short-term project versus a long-term project. What are some of those grant opportunities that you could partner together? But I would say, wherever you are, find out which transit authority serves your town. If your town is not a member of a transit authority, maybe that's a first step, is are there other people in town interested in joining a transit authority? And then get to know that service and how you can work together.
The thing I hear most from housing providers, and Joanne mentioned this, was about either establishing or changing a bus route or a transportation route that involves the housing facility. Like either we'd like a stop to be in front of here, or the stop that you have isn't really working for us. So it sounds like that's something that a regional transit authority would be open to having a discussion about. So if folks are frustrated, you know, they should just be calling and having that conversation.
Oh, I agree. I think a regional transit authority, we don't really know what you would need, like, for example, a bus, or the bus stop is too far away from our facility where we have to walk. So absolutely, you could call them and say, you know, could you just move the bus stop 50 feet? Or it has to comply, it has to be ADA compliance. But for the most part, you can work with your transit authority.
Now,
changing a route or establishing a route, that could be costly. And we have to change a route, sometimes you have to go out for a public hearing. It depends on the size of the route. But and for the most part, these small little transit authorities could do it.
Who oversees the actual kind of, if there's a bus stop you know, shelter, or if there's chairs or anything like that, is that also owned by the Regional Transit Authority? So if you wanted to say, hey, can we get something, you know, the weather's turning bad, can we get more of a shelter, or can we get a bench or something
like that? We could provide the shelter and we can put it up for you, but you have to get permission to go on private property. If it's a private property, or if it's owned by the state, the sidewalk, you have to get permission to do that. Depending upon the type of, if you just want a bench or if you want the whole shelter, that you have to get probably the town's approval to do that. And it all has to be ADA. So there's got to be a curb cut. There's got to, so the bus can stop, but it's definitely doable.
Perfect. The other thing you said, and you hit it kind of in your discussion there, Joanne, was that with COVID, that at least in your Regional Transit Authority has waived all the fees.
Yes.
So that you can actually.
We started them up again.
Oh, okay.
2 weeks ago. But I know Worcester, I think the Worcester Regional Transit Authority waived them again. The state wanted us to start them up. We're under MassDOT, MassDOT. So they wanted us to start because when the MBTA started, they wanted everyone to start, but we didn't start till the last week in August, first week in September.
Got it. All right.
But so our fares are a lot less than the MBTA. For example, our fares are $1.75, basically. $1.50, $1.75 for dial a ride.
And do you, I know that you have fewer people on each, let's say, bus. Does that mean you have to run more buses, or is it kind of a reduced route kind of situation? Like, are there fewer buses running?
We run more dial-a-ride vans because of the COVID. The big buses, you can usually do this, the social distancing, because the buses are large enough. And actually, people are just starting to come back to use public transportation.
So you've mentioned dial-a-ride a few times, and I didn't hear that from
it's
Rachel.
Like the
so
ride.
Can you tell us?
It's like the ride. You qualify. Only our dial-a-ride is for, the ride is disabled and senior, and I think there's a senior ride in Boston. But our dial-a-ride is open to seniors and people with disabilities.
So how would I find out if that was in my community?
So this is the part of the picture of transportation options that transit authorities provide. So they provide, the fixed route is like a bus. And then I use the word demand response or paratransit, and dial-a-ride is another word. Basically, those are all words for transportation that whereas a bus, it's always the same route. Like, it has a map, you know where it's going to be, and you know kind of the schedule when it's coming. Demand response or dial-a-ride does not have a set route. It's based on when people need to use it. So you call in advance. They have an eligibility system, which might be, it sort of varies by where you are. It might be based on disability. It might be based on age. These are things you can find out from your transit authority, exactly what services they offer in your area of this kind, but then people call, make the reservation, and then they get told what time it's coming and they get their ride. And it's called demand response because the route is set based on where people are demanding. So the route is responding to the demand. Or it's called dial-a-ride because people are calling in and saying, I need a ride, and then the ride is coming based on that.
So every community is part of a regional transit authority, or are there communities? Could I be in a community that's not part of one, and how do I join? How do I rally or advocate for them to join one?
There's very few that aren't a part of a regional transit authority. If your town would want to join, then you would have to contact the regional transit authority. The town would have to be requesting it because the town would pay for those services.
But there are some examples of towns that have recently joined transit authorities. I know the town of Hamilton recently joined the Cape Ann Transit Authority. That's a pretty recent one. Gaffter in the last few years, right? Like
Scituate. The town of Scituate joined us a few years ago, and they got a fixed route bus and some dial-a-rides. So
if your community wants to join, that's something you have to look, you know, the politics, you have to go and talk to them.
Yeah.
Select board, town meeting, all those things. Okay.
Yeah, but there is a process and towns have done it. So I would say step one, find out if your town is already a member of a transit authority, and if so, what services you're getting from that transit authority, and build a relationship with that transit authority to find out, you know, what might be possible in terms of expanding options. And if you're not part of a transit authority, talk to the town government, other stakeholders to see who else might be interested in joining that transit authority and get that process going.
Great. So I want to make sure folks know they can put questions, I've been kind of dominating, questions in the chat room, or if they want to unmute their phone, they can go ahead and do that. Just tell me who you are when you if you do that. So let's give it a sec. If anyone wants to unmute and ask a question. Or share a story. Is anybody on the phone actually working with their regional transit and been able to make some changes or address some of the transportation needs that you've had? Okay, looks like nobody's unmuting. Everybody's shy today. Well, I'll keep dominating then. So you mentioned everybody has to wear a mask on at least, I assume that's across the board for any public transportation right now?
Yes. That,
okay, so that's not like specific to the regional transit?
No.
Okay.
It's and, specifically spelled out in the governor's order.
Right. And is there anyone who is there any sort of testing or surveillance testing or whatever going on of the people who are driving these various different transportation options?
The drivers are not GATRA's drivers. They're by an operator, but yes, they're tested and they're also trained. They have a lot of training going on, but I'm not sure how often they're tested, but we have not had any of our drivers test positive, which is good.
Because I do think that people have been reluctant to use public transportation, right? Because they worry about that being a place where things either can spread, right? That you're sharing space and with people you don't know and touching things and breathing the same air.
Right.
It was nice to hear that there people are looking at airflow and PPE. Somebody asked that they're interested in safely opening their senior transportation program when the local senior center opens. What protocols, steps, systems, or precautions have you been taking? Like
I know with our COAs and the vehicles we've provided, we have gone down. We've sent our maintenance crews down to put all the PPEs on the vehicles. They're social distancing. They're seniors. Not a lot of the senior centers are back, but there are some that are slowly bringing back their memory care. They're not open to the regular seniors yet. They're slowly bringing back. They provide all their meals on wheels. So the vehicles are sanitized every time someone uses it in the senior center. They have the sprays. The masks, they're all equipped with every single one of our vans with the same, because we've sent our maintenance department out. And they weren't being used, so it was easy to do that when they were not being used. But now they're slowly, although none of them are back. None of my 28 communities, none of them are back completely.
You mean none of the transportation or the senior centers aren't open?
Centers. But they've always provided Meals on Wheels. They've always tried to get out there socially for them. Some of them have provided, like I talked about, the housing. They used to have, before they contacted me, the fire department was going to the grocery store for some of these housing facilities. Now they can get out themselves.
So that's a great story, which is that the housing authority, you're now running something with them to get them to the market and shop. And, you know, that is something that, you know, maybe if your regional transit authority, you know, and you contact them, maybe there's a peer-to-peer, maybe at some point they can say, well, ask Joanne how she pulled it off.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, great.
And Emily, just to add, I know there are some definitely around the state, there are some councils on aging whose vans are operating, who are operating their vans. And there's some great resources from MCOA, the Massachusetts Association of Councils on Aging, in terms of reopening and transportation. They have like a sample plan, and they've been sharing some examples from different councils on aging for their transportation, so that others can learn from each other and we can all build together. I've also been talking to some sort of volunteer driver programs about their protocols, but in general, I would say, yeah, they're just thinking carefully about how many passengers you are comfortable taking at a time on the vehicle, limiting that. What we talked about with airflow, PPE masks. Councils on Aging have come up with some great ways to do it safely.
So I'm interested to hear from folks on the call about if their residents are actually back taking public transportation or they use their own cars, or, you know, some I know housing complexes have their own transportation. Are you implementing these kinds of COVID-19, or have you been running it through COVID-19? So is there anyone on the phone who wants to unmute? And maybe Lynn, you can remind people how to unmute.
For those on the phone, you'll want to press *6. And for those on the computer, you'll want to click the microphone icon on your screen.
Thank you so much. So does anyone want to talk about sort of how transportation is or is not being utilized right now in your development due to COVID-19?
Hi, my name is...
Hi.
Hi, I'm Julia. I work in Brighton at a large affordable housing elder building. So my residents started going back to Adelte Health, which provides their own transportation. And they all wear masks, and it is lower numbers due to capacity, but also they're less interested in going because of the pandemic. Last I heard, the mayor's senior shuttle, it's one person per van.
Which, and that's in Boston.
Yeah, Mayor Walsh's. So I was very impressed with one person per van. That's amazing.
It's like a limo.
Yeah.
And Julie, you mentioned the Adult Day Health. There is a lot of regulations and guidance that went out from EOHHS that oversees those around those transportation shuttles as well.
I think it depends on the number of people the shuttle holds. If it's a 6-passenger, an 8-passenger, 14 or 16, that the social distancing goes by the number of passengers. So if it's probably a smaller one, like a 6 or an 8, then it would be mandated only one person.
Wow, okay, that's interesting.
Thanks, Julie.
Thanks.
Does anybody else wanna share? All right, well, I will share something which is somewhat related, which is, which I wasn't aware of, which is that the RMV, if you are age 75 or older, you must actually go in person if you need to renew your license or do anything like that. So the RMV for September and October has announced senior days. And so there are older driver days, I should say. There are certain RMVs that are set up where people can go to renew in person who are 75 years and older. And you can make an appointment, and they are, not only are they anticipating that the folks will be coming in, Elder Affairs has partnered with the RMV and provided representatives from our local elder service agencies on site at the RMV on those days, so that if anybody has questions, thoughts, comments, you know, needs information, whatever that may be, there's somebody there who can chat with them about what their non-transportation needs might be. So we're on the same theme here. So we did talk a lot about public transportation, but for those people who are currently driving, who do have to go to the RMV to do work, just be aware there are these older adult days, older driver days, and we're trying to sort of use that as a forum to reach people if they have any other needs of any other kind. I did have a question come in, Joanne and Rachel. I will say that there are rumors that sometimes some of the unscheduled, that they're not the buses on a route, but the other types of transportation, sometimes people are waiting a long time. You know, they call and they have to wait, and it's not exactly when they want to go. So can you talk, are there any, you know, like, can I order, can I call something the day before and say I need to be there at 11 at the doctor's appointment. And this is the public, you know, these are the public transportation, not the Uber and Lyft and GoGo for grandparent, because I know you can do those.
Yeah, the local demand response for our seniors, it can be a while. We do ask you that you call in advance so we can schedule it. Especially the small rural areas, they don't have a lot of, we don't have a lot of vans in a big area. But we try to do the best we can. And I know we try to do prioritize or try to get your medical appointments in because they know that it's a medical appointment. But yes, depending upon how many people are using it per day, it can, you can wait a lengthy time, but you can wait.
So would you suggest calling, you know, way at like the day before, like way ahead?
They have to call at least the day before.
Okay. Before so noon. 2 days before.
Yeah. 2 days before. And now, especially when you can only put so many people in the van, you know, and that makes it a little more difficult, challenging.
I think it can also help just to think of this as a public transportation service. If you're calling the transit authority, it's a public transit service. Under normal circumstances, these are tend to be shared rides. So it's not just, it's not a, I think it helps if you don't think of it as a taxi necessarily for yourself, but it's part of public transit. And so they're scheduling your needs, but they're also scheduling your neighbor's needs around it as well.
That's great. It's a good way to think of it. So there seems to be a lot, as with every other industry during COVID, a lot more regulations and guidance, guidelines and things that transportation must do, excuse me, and you're seeing fewer people use the service. So economically, has the state, you know, been supporting some has there been funding come out to support transportation and regional transit authorities through COVID, you know, sort of this emergency disaster related? And, you know, do we anticipate that to continue if this is something that, you know, COVID is still around for a while?
Well, it did come out because we did have to do all these PPE protocols and we did lose a lot. I mean, with people, the mandate for people to stay home for months, we lost a lot of ridership, and I'm sure everyone did. Right now, I don't think there's any extension of any CARES Act, the CARES Act, that I have heard of. I don't think that we see anything coming in the near future, but I do know that, you know, ridership is down everywhere because people are staying home and working from home. So that's going to be an issue in the next few years, especially.
And I think it's a multi-layered issue too, because like Joanne said, there was some federal funding through the CARES Act for transit authorities, but right, like Joanne was saying, you know, will there be another round of that at any point? That's a question. And then another issue is that for transportation services that aren't provided by transit authorities, they weren't necessarily eligible for that CARES Act money. So we've really talked a lot about transit authority transportation services today and a little bit about Council on Aging services, but there's also some services here and there run by nonprofits or run by ASAPs, run by other organizations that weren't eligible for that transit authority funding. So I think, yeah, we just all have to keep working together to try to figure this out.
That's a very good point, Rachel. I'm just hearing from folks out in Greenfield, they're not really using public transportation. There are rides for health or volunteer programs that have been operating, and they're advocating for the Greenfield RMV to reopen. So I guess some of the RMVs are shut down. Does anybody else have questions or comments they want to put on the chat or unmute themselves? All right, well, I think that I'm gonna wrap up by thanking our speakers today, Rachel and Joanne. We will send out all of these links and the information right after this call. I encourage you to email us to join the listserv or get more information at seniorhousingcovid19@mass.gov. And to join us, send us ideas for topics because our next call will be October 22nd at noon, and we're always looking to hear what would be useful to you all to learn more about. So I'm going to give you back, I think, 9 minutes of your day, so all of us can get up and stretch a little and do some jumping jacks, and have a great rest of September, and I'll see you again in October.
Thank you. Take care.